Amen. All right, well, you're there in Nehemiah chapter number 2. And this morning, usually on the last Sunday of the year, I will preach a sermon about the coming new year and maybe setting goals or things of that nature. And this morning, I'm going to do that a little early because this year, it so happens that the last Sunday of the year is Christmas. And so we'll be dealing with a Christmas sermon next week and tie it into the new building and all of that. But I want to talk to you this morning about the new year and about rising up and building in the new year. And here in Nehemiah, we're there in Nehemiah chapter 2. That's where we'll be for our text this morning. But look at verse chapter number 1 just real quickly and look down at verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah." And this is Nehemiah speaking. He says, "And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are," notice what they say, "are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Notice verse 4. "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Nehemiah gets some bad news. He's the servant, the cupbearer of the king in Shushan the palace in a foreign land. And he has family come and they are bringing him a report about how the Jews are doing in Jerusalem. He asks them concerning the Jews and he gets a bad report. He said, they tell him the people are in great affliction. They're in reproach. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. And it broke his heart. The Bible tells us there at the end of verse 4 that he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah seeks, and there's a lot that we could say here, but I just want to get you the context a little bit about what's going on before he gets to Jerusalem. Go to chapter 2, look at verse 5. "The king approves Nehemiah's request to rebuild the wall." Notice verse 5. "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it." He's asking the king permission to go back to Jerusalem to build the walls and to rebuild it. Notice verse 6. "And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return?" Now notice what it says. "So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." I want you to notice, and I'm not preaching about this morning, but the hand of God is in this situation. First of all, Nehemiah gets the permission of the king to be able to go. The Bible says it pleased the king to send me. Look down to verse number 7. "Moreover, I said unto the king," he said, you know, Nehemiah is like, he says, "Well, I asked him if I could go, and he gave me permission, so maybe the king's in a good mood. Let me ask him for something else." Notice verse 7. "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over or carry me over till I come into Judah." And the king agrees. So he gets permission from the king. He gets protection from the king because traveling in those days was very dangerous. And he gets protection that they may convey me over is what it says. Look down at verse 8. "And a letter unto Asaph." So the king says, okay. And he says, "Well, let me ask again." You know, you ever read that book to your children, you know, if you give a mouse a cookie? Right? If you give a mouse a cookie, then he's going to ask you for a glass of milk. That's how Nehemiah is. You know, he got permission, and he got protection. So he says, "Well, let me ask for something else." Look at verse 8. "And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that it shall enter into, that I shall enter into." And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So he says, "Can I get the materials to rebuild the wall? Can I get the materials to rebuild the house? Can I get the materials to rebuild the gates?" And the king said, yes. So he got the king's permission, and he got the king's protection, and he got the king's provision. And I just want, and I'm not preaching about that this morning, but I want you to understand, whenever we do the work of God and whenever we do the will of God, he will always give us his permission and his protection and his provision. But he gets there to Jerusalem, and skip down to verse number 11. And I want to give you this morning, because here's what he does. He takes a situation that's bad, and he turns it into a good situation. And there are some principles here that we can learn about how Nehemiah went about to rebuild the wall and how he the Bible says very famously that it says, he said, let us rise up and build. And I want to talk to you about these principles and how you and I can leverage these same principles that Nehemiah leveraged here and take these same steps and we can use them in this coming year. And it might be a year that you and I could say, we're going to rise up and do something great for God. And I'm not just saying as a church body, although as a church, I believe we will do something great for God in the coming year. But I'm saying for you personally, in your own life, with your marriage and your children and your finances, or maybe your health. I want to give you four principles this morning in regards to how to rise up and build in the new year. Look down at verse number 11. I want you to notice what Nehemiah did. So I came to Jerusalem. So he gets there and was there 3 days. And I arose, I want you to notice, in the night. He does this privately. He does it at night because he doesn't, you know, he just shows up to town and he shows up with this huge convoy of the people bringing him. And I'm sure there's a lot of attention and a lot of distraction, and there's a lot of people saying, who is this guy and why is he here? And he wants to not bring attention to the situation. So the Bible says that, or Nehemiah says there, verse 12, and I arose in the night, I and some few men, not a lot, just some key people with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in mine heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Notice verse 15. Then went I, notice the emphasis, in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. I want you to notice, Nehemiah takes some private time to reflect. Just him and a few key people. You say, well, what does he do while he's reflecting? What does he do while he's meeting privately? I want you to notice what he does is he takes an accurate assessment. Look at verse number 13 again. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port. And notice what it says. And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. He takes an accurate assessment of the situation. He looks at the walls, and he doesn't make excuse for them. He doesn't see them in a better light. He just says, this is what it is. They are broken down. This is what it is. They need to be fixed. Notice, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. This is just the reality of the city of Jerusalem at this time. The reality is that the walls are broken down. The gates are consumed with fire. Notice verse 15. Then I went on the gate of the fountain into the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook, and notice it says, viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. Notice verse 16, and the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. See, here's the first step. You say, how do we rise up and build in the new year? How do we accomplish more in this coming year? The first step that we see Jeremiah take is that he assessed. He assesses the situation. Notice there in verse number 16 again, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it. I want you to understand that he takes accurate assessment and he makes no excuses. He doesn't speak. He doesn't tell anybody. And this is the problem. And here's what I want you to get. And you know, if you're taking notes this morning, which I would encourage you to do that, if you're able to, I want you to write down this word, assess. That's the first step, assess. In fact, can we just say that together? Assess. Let's say it one more time. Assess. The first step is to assess the situation. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The step of assessment is not the step of announcement. See, where most of us go wrong is we're trigger happy to announce what we want to do. We're trigger happy to announce what we want to accomplish. We're trigger happy to say, but I want you to notice, that's not what Nehemiah did. He did not bring attention to himself. In fact, he rose up in the night when he knew that most people would not be watching. And he goes out with just a few key men. And he just viewed the wall. And he just viewed the gates. And he just viewed and took accurate assessment of what was going on. You don't have to turn there, but there's a verse in 1 Kings 20 and verse 11 where one of the kings says, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And what that quote means is he says, don't talk going into battle as someone could talk coming out of battle. He's saying most people go into battle and they're boasting and bragging about how we're going to mess you up. You know, we're gonna make you hurt. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And the king here is saying, hey, don't boast coming into battle. Don't boast going him that girdeth on the harness as him that putteth it off. He said, why don't you wait to actually win the battle? And here's what I've noticed with most people. They will enter into the new year and they just want to tell you of all the things they're going to, in this coming year, I'm going to save so much money. I'm going to get out of so much debt. I'm going to lose so much weight, right? I'm going to read the Bible so many times. Hey, be careful to not confuse the assessment period with the announcement period. And be careful not to announce all your plans. Because here's what I've noticed. We announce our plans, we take credit for our plans, and then sometimes we never really do our plans. Here, Nehemiah just kept his mouth shut, privately, quietly, took accurate assessment of the situation. You're there in Nehemiah chapter 2. Keep your place there. That's our text for this morning. But go with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, if you're Nehemiah, you're going to go past the book of Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs 27. Now, when you get there, do me a favor. Put a ribbon or a bookmark or a bulletin or something in Proverbs because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it throughout the entire sermon. So make sure you can get to Proverbs because we're going to come back to it throughout the whole sermon. Proverbs 27. We have a tendency to like to talk about the things we're going to do. Someone said this, talking is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And you know, that's the truth. We like to talk and talk and talk, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to accomplish this, and bless God. But Nehemiah was not that way. He was quiet. He was private. He gathered key people, and he just took an accurate assessment. He assessed the situation. Are you there in Proverbs 27? Look down at verse number 23. Proverbs 27 and verse 23, notice what the Bible says. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. He's telling us here, he's speaking to someone who has flocks, who's in that type of business. He said, hey, be diligent to know the state of your flock. And whatever the state of your flocks, you know, however you want to apply that into your life, what we're being told here is that we need to make sure that we take an accurate assessment, that we take an accurate assessment of the situation that we perceive as a problem. And here's the thing. I'm glad that we're able to preach this maybe a couple of weeks before the New Year's, because here's what I'd like you to do over the next week or over the next 2 weeks. I'd like you to, on purpose, privately and with a few key people. You say, who are the key people? Well, it may be your spouse. It may be your children. You children, it may be your parents. But I want you to take inventory and assess. You ought to assess your own spiritual life. You ought to reflect over the last year and look at your own spiritual life and your own walk with God and look at it and accurately assess it. And here's the thing. Don't make excuses. What we like to do is we see a problem, we'll say, well, that wasn't my fault. It was because my husband did this or my wife did that or this situation. But that's not what Nehemiah did. He did not arise in order to go and look so he could point blame. He did not go and look so he could just criticize or be critical. He just went to get an accurate assessment of what was going on. And see, in your spiritual life or in your marriage or with your children, we need to take some time to reflect, to assess. You got to ask yourself with your spiritual walk, how is your walk with God? For some of you, 2017 ought to be the year that you get right with God. Some of you are backsliding. You don't know it. Everybody else knows it, not you. Now everybody else senses it. Everybody else looks at you and says, man, you're just not on fire like you used to be. There's just not the joy there that you used to have. You're just not as faithful as you used to be. Maybe 2017 can be the year that you rise up and build. But listen, you will not get there unless you take some time to reflect and to assess and to say, well, look at these gates. They're burnt down. I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm not criticizing anybody over. I'm just accurately assessing the fact. These gates are burned down. These walls are broken down. We are in distress. We are a reproach. In your marriage, some of you need to take some time in the next couple of weeks, you husbands and you wife, and reflect. And I'm not saying reflect on your spouse and say, well, yeah, my wife, I mean, she would have done this year and that year and this. No. It's about reflecting on yourself. Where did I fail as a husband? How did I fail as a wife? Where could I have done better as a parent? And be accurate in your assessment. Financially, Financially, there are some of you, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, there are just some of you that need to just open your eyes and realize, my finances are a mess. They stink. And it's not the economy. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Barack Obama. It's not this. It's not that. Look, it's funny because the economy is the reason. It's funny because people that lived in the same economy were able to get out of debt last year and save last year and live off in a budget last year and spend not beyond their means last year. But see, what we like to do is we like to say, the reason that I'm a financial mess, it's their fault and that fault, and it's the state of California. No. Why don't you just accurately assess the situation and say, what went wrong? See, maybe I need to live on a budget. Maybe I need to develop a plan. Maybe I need to make a plan, 2017, to get out of debt or to quit going into debt. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. You are a slave when you are in debt to that bank or that credit union or that auto place or whatever it may be. And maybe you just need to stop talking and assess the situation. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your health. I have to be careful when I talk about this because there's immature people all the time. But, you know, some of you need to assess your health and realize things aren't going well. It's time for me to do something. And maybe it's an exercise program. Maybe it's a diet. I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you, we all, if we want to accomplish something great in the new year, it all starts at night by yourself or with a few key people assessing, not announcing. I'm not saying, I'll go on Facebook and I'm going to tell everybody just how much I'm going to do and I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up every morning at 5 and run 6 miles and then read the Bible for 50 minutes and fast every Tuesday. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about announcing. We're talking about assessing, reflecting, looking at those burnt down walls, looking at those burnt down gates, looking at the situation. See, the first step, who remembers? What was the first step? It was what? Let's say it together. Assess. You need to assess the situation. But that's not it. You say, well, that's kind of depressing. That's not it. Here's a more positive thing. Look at verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. Keep your place in Proverbs. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 10. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonites, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man, that's Nehemiah, to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. See, Nehemiah wasn't there to build the walls. Nehemiah was there to help the people. Nehemiah was not there to build the wall. Nehemiah was there to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Look down to verse 17. Then said I, this is Nehemiah, then said I unto them. Notice what he said. Then said I unto them. Notice what he said. Ye see the distress that we are in. He said, I took an accurate assessment. I'm not excusing it. I'm not trying to shy away from it. I'm not trying to look the other way. He says, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Here's what he's telling them. This is who you are. This is where they were. This is the situation. And some of you need to just get to that place and say, hey, there's something wrong with my marriage. There's something wrong with my child rearing. My parenting did not go as well last year as it should have gone. Whatever it might be, you need to get to the place where say, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. But then notice what he says. He says, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Notice what he says. That we be no more a reproach. See, Nehemiah saw not what they were, but what they could be. He had a vision. He said, I'm going to take accurate assessment. He said, I'm going to reflect, and I'm going to meet at night, and I'm going to look at the situation. I'm going to say, this isn't right, and this isn't good, and this could be better, and the gates are burnt down, and the walls are broken down, and we are in distress, and the people see us as a reproach. He said, I'm going to do all that, but I'm not going to just stay there. He said, see, the first step is assess. Here's the second step, visualize. He saw not what they were, but what they could be. He said, we are in distress. He said, we are in distress. Jerusalem lieth waste. The gates are burned with fire. He says, the walls are broken down. But he says, we can be no more a reproach. Did you keep your place in Proverbs? Go to Proverbs 29. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Continue to keep your place in Proverbs. We're going to keep coming back to it throughout the sermon. Proverbs 29, look at verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. You know these verses. Where there is no what? Vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. See, you need to get a vision. You need to visualize how things could be. See, you're going to assess. You say, my finances are a mess. My health is a mess. My marriage is a mess. My children are a mess. My career is a mess. Whatever it may be, whatever area, maybe there's something there that I'm not even thinking to try to apply in your life. And the Holy Spirit is bringing that to your mind. And you're saying, here is an area in your life where the gates are burned, where the walls are broken down, and where the people are in distress. But then don't just stop there with assess. Then you visualize. Then you get a vision. Some of you need to get a vision for your children. You need to get a vision for your kids. You need to see your kids. What is your goal? What is it exactly that you're trying to accomplish with that child? My wife and I will have this conversation all the time. What is it that we're trying to have? You say, my oldest is 9 years old. I've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I don't even know what the other age is. Once you have 5, you just start even forgetting, you know. The rest are little, okay? And here's the thing. But we think to ourselves, they're going to be 18 soon. They're going to be 20 soon. They're going to be married off soon. What is it? What is it exactly that we're trying to accomplish with these kids? See, we want to accomplish children that, number one, love the Lord, that fear the Lord, that walk with God. We want to raise children that are well-educated. We want to raise children that are productive members of society and not lazy. We want to raise children that can provide for themselves and provide for their families. We want to accomplish all those things, so we are pushing in that direction. What's your vision? See, you say my marriage is a mess. Then don't think divorce. Think visualize. It can be better. It can be no more a reproach. We were in love once. I always think it's funny when people get divorced and whatever, and it's like, I never loved him. I mean, there was at least one day where you were willing to stand before a judge or a priest or a pastor or someone and vow your life to them for the rest. I mean, there was at least one day when you were kind of happy. You can have that again. You can be happy again. You can be in love again. It's not just going to happen overnight. There are some issues that need to be worked through. There are some sins that need to be confessed and forgiven and moved on. We understand that. But here's all I'm saying is take an accurate assessment of where you are, but visualize. Take a moment to dream of how things could be, how that business could be, how that career could be, how that family could be. Just take some time and stop thinking about the 9-year-old and 7-year-old and 4-year-old and newborn and 2-year-old and 3-year-old and think about their grandchildren. What kind of legacy do you want to leave for their kids? Not when I have a 9-year-old son, but when I have a 9-year-old grandson, what kind of legacy do I want? I'm just saying it's okay every once in a while to sit down and close your eyes and dream and visualize and get a vision. In fact, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. So the first step was what? Who remembers? Assess. Let's say it together. Assess. What's the second step? Visualize. So we see Nehemiah. He assesses the situation and he visualizes how things could be. He sees what they are, but he can also see what they can be. He sees what they could be. He sees what could happen. So what's the next step? Well, you know, before I go there, go back to verse 12. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. Because some of you, this is a question I get asked often. And people say, well, Pastor, I don't get this whole vision thing, you know, and it's hard for me to connect with people like that sometimes because I'm a very visionary type of guy. You know, I like a lot of things, but vision's not one of them. And I'm always looking into the future and seeing, you know, what can be and what we could do and what we could accomplish. Sometimes people struggle with that, though. They say, it's hard for me to get a vision for my wife, or it's hard for me to get a vision for my husband, or it's hard to get a vision for my children. Some of you ought to get a vision for your grandchildren. You know, it's hard for me to get a vision for my finances or my health. But here's a good tip. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 12. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man. Notice what he says here. What my God had put in my heart. What my God had put in my heart. See, we read it earlier. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Look down at verse number 4. Nehemiah chapter 1. Look at verse 4. We read it earlier, but look at it again. Nehemiah 1:4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He got some bad news, and it broke his heart. And that burden became a bridge That burden became a bridge for what he wanted to do. See, the Bible says there, Nehemiah says, what my God had put in my heart. If you struggle with this idea of vision, you say, I'm not really sure what my vision should be or what my vision could be. Here's a good question that you can ask yourself. What breaks your heart? Nehemiah got a response of what's happening in Jerusalem, and it broke his heart. He wept and he was sad. And when he realized what broke his heart, then he allowed that burden to become a bridge and to become a vision. You ought to ask yourself, what breaks my heart? What is it in this world? What is it in my family that I worry about, that I'm sad about, that I weep about? You can allow that vision. See, a vision can be born from a burden. A vision can be born from a burden in your heart. So in your life, you ought to visualize your spiritual life. See, right now, some of you need to get an accurate assessment. Listen to me, husbands. Some of you need to look at your wife and her spiritual state and look at those walls that are broken down and those gates that are burned down and realize, my wife is not very spiritual. She's kind of carnal. And it's kind of my fault. I'm supposed to be leading. Some of you need to look at your children and take an accurate assessment and realize, my child is kind of worldly. Some of you need to look in the mirror and say, I'm not right with God. You know, it's like Jesus told the church at Ephesus, he said, I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said, repent there. He said, repent. He said, go back to that first state. Go back to how it used to be. So you need to take an accurate assessment of how things are, but then visualize how good things could be. How could your spiritual life be? How could your marriage be? How could your relationship with your children be restored? In your financial situation, or your career, or your health, or whatever it might be. See, step one is you assess. Step two is you visualize. Let me give you step three. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 17. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 17. Nehemiah 2:17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that, I love this about Nehemiah. I want you to notice this. You ought to underline this in the Bible. Ye see the distress that ye are in. Is that what he said? No. He doesn't say, ye see the distress that ye are in. He says, ye see the distress that we are in. Now, that's interesting to me because Nehemiah, you just showed up to town. You just got to town. And Nehemiah, you got a good job. And Nehemiah, you got a retirement plan. And Nehemiah, your house is nice. And Nehemiah, your walls and your gates aren't broken down. But here's what a good leader does. He takes on the burden of the follower. He doesn't say, you see the distress that ye are in. He says, you see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And notice what he says. Let not you, but he says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that not you, that we be no more a reproach. See, a good leader identifies with their followers. Someone said this, the difference between a boss and a leader is a boss says go and a leader says let's go. And see, you ought not go. Don't go to your wife and say, I see the reproach you are. No. It's we. It's not you can't see the strength. No, it's us. It's not your fault. We need to work on this. We need to assess this accurately. We need to visualize. And by the way, those of you that are leaders, whether it's a pastor in a church or whether it's a father to his children or a mother to his children or a husband to his wife or an employer or an entrepreneur, whatever it may be, you need to, as a leader, learn how to cast that vision a little bit. Sometimes people don't see what you can see. It's really interesting, you know, We spent several months, you know, several of us spent several months looking at building after building after building. And I was always real careful who I invited to come and who I maybe didn't invite or not that I was trying to be mean or anything. But I just realized as a pastor over the last 6 years that I've been pastoring is that not everybody has a vision. Some people just can't see what could be, you know. And sometimes people are like, I don't see it, you know, and it's like, and you got other guys, they walk in, they're like, I can see it, it's great, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you know, and here's the thing, sometimes as a leader, you just have to cast that vision. There's a reason why I haven't had just an open house, you know, everybody goes, come look at the old building, because I realized some of you are going to walk into that building before it was remodeled and think to yourself, what are we doing? And right now, you go to that building right now, and you're going to be like, wow, this is amazing. But sometimes as a leader, you have to be able to see what others can't see. And sometimes you need to be able to cast that vision. And some of you husbands are struggling with your wife because you haven't accurately cast the vision. And you just wonder, why is my wife not on board? Why are my children not on board? Why don't they see what I see? But see, Nehemiah was able to cast that vision. Was able to get them to see what he could see. See, sometimes when things are awry, when things are not going well, all we see is defeat and all we see is failure. And really, all a leader needs to do is just rise up and say, things can get better. They can be better. How do you do that? Well, you have to assess. How do you do that? Well, you have to visualize. How do you do that? Here's point number three, plan. Plan. We said number one, can we say it together? Assess. We said number two, can we say it together? Visualize. Number three, plan. Let's say it together. Plan. Need to plan. I know some of you are asleep. Let's just say it together, all right? Plan. Plan your next step. Notice verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And come and let us. Notice what he says. Here's the next step. Build up the wall of Jerusalem. Now, the goal is not to build the wall of Jerusalem, to build the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was not there to build a wall. Nehemiah was there for the welfare of the people. Nehemiah was there to take a people who were a reproach and make them no longer a reproach. But here's what Nehemiah understood. In order to be able to do that, we have to build a wall. You understand that? Nehemiah knew the next step, the plan. How do we get to what God has burdened me for is to develop a plan. He said, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Why? That we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them with the hand of my God. Here's vision casting. Then I told them with the hand of my God, which was upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Can you get back to Proverbs? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 26. See, you got a plan. You got a plan. It's not just about visualizing. It's not just about a vision. It's about a plan. Someone said this. The difference between a goal and a wish is a plan. You say, every year I have these New Year's resolutions, and it's like 2017 is going to be the year that I make $1 million, you know, or 2017 is going to be the year that I lose weight or whatever. But here's what you say, but it never happens. I always got all these goals and these resolutions, but it never happens. Here's why it never happens, because you have a wish, but you don't have a plan. And the difference between a wish and a goal is a plan. And Nehemiah didn't just show up and say, hey, listen, guys. The walls are broken down. The gates are burnt down. We are a distress. We are in distress and we are a reproach. But things are going to get better. How, Nehemiah? They just are. No, he said, we got to do something. What are we going to do? We're going to build this wall. We're going to rebuild the city. We're going to make this happen. Are you there in Proverbs 4? Look at verse 26. Proverbs 4, look at verse 26. Notice what he says. Ponder. You see the word ponder? The word ponder means to consider or think of something. Proverbs 4, verse 26. Proverbs 4, 26. Notice what he says. Ponder. Ponder means to consider or think of something. Ponder the path of thy feet. You know what he's saying? He's saying, think of your next step. What is your next step? Let all thy ways be established. The word established means prepared or ready. See, you need to make a plan. You need to plan your next step. Can you go, keep your place there in Proverbs? Go to Luke chapter 14. In the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Look at verse number 28. It's not enough to have a vision. It's not enough to have a wish. It's not enough to have to visualize. See, I see how things could be. No, you have to make a plan. You have to plan your next step. You have to realize, here's where we are. Here's where we'd like to be. What do we need to do to get here? Build a wall. Rebuild the gates. Rebuild the temple. They had a plan. Luke 14, look at verse 28. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 14, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? What's he talking about? Talking about making a plan. Getting a budget. Whether ye have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, the word haply means perhaps. He said perhaps after that he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish? Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Here's what he's saying. If you're going to win a battle, you have to make a plan. If you're going to build, you're going to have to make a plan. And in your life and in my life, if we're going to rise up and build in the next year, we need a plan. Your marriage will not just get better. Your relationship with your children will not just get better. Your finances, debt sure, will not just get better. You're not going to spiritually grow and spiritually mature. You need to assess those things. You need to decide. 2017, some of you need to decide 2017 is a year that you get that sin out of your life. You know, it's a shame that people would come to a church like Verity Baptist Church and struggle with things like alcohol or drugs or smoking pot or things of that nature. You know, this is the year that you got to decide, hey, I'm assessing. This is wrong. This isn't right. This is bad. And I'm going to get a plan to fix it. I'm going to get a plan that'll get me to not how things are, but how things could be. So you assess, you visualize, you plan. Here's step number four. You implement. Are you there? Can you get back to Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. You implement your plan. You don't just make a plan, you implement the plan. You don't just make the plan, you execute the plan. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. So, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. Notice, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Look at verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Someone said this, most great things in your life won't happen by chance. They will happen by choice. Most great things in your life will not happen by chance. They will happen by choice. See, some of you are in a financial whirlwind. You are financially in a hole. And you're not doing yourselves any favors by looking at other people who are doing well financially and saying, well, it's just they were born into the right family. Or they were, look, most things don't happen by chance. They happen by choice. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a plan, and then you've got to implement it. Someone said this, nothing ever came by wishing. It came by working. It's not going to just do itself. Someone said this, plan your work and work your plan. Someone said this, you will be what you are becoming. That's one of my favorite quotes. You will be what you are becoming. You will be what you are becoming. You say, I don't like who I am. Then change it. I don't like how my marriage, then change it. I don't like how my children are being raised. Then change it. I don't like my financial situation or my health situation. Then change it. You will be what you are becoming. If you don't like what you are, then change it. You have the wonderful privilege right now, to change the future. But you have to visualize. You have to plan. You have to assess. You have to rise up and build. You have to strengthen. They said that they strengthened their hands for this good work. Nothing ever came by wishing. It comes by working. You plan your work and you work your plan. See, if you really want to do something, someone said this, if you really want to do something, you will find a way. And if you don't, you will find an excuse. And that's the truth. Some of you, it's like excuse after excuse, and it's been decade and decade, and at some point, you're just going to have to look at those walls and say, I can sit here and blame the Babylonians. It's Nebuchadnezzar's fault these walls are broken down. It's the Assyrians' fault these walls are broken down. It's God's fault these walls are broken down. But look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. The point is this. The walls are broken down. What are you going to do about it? We can sit there and talk and say, well, if this hadn't happened, and if that hadn't happened, if the people and if our forefathers had just been right with God, that's fine. That's all well and good. But you know, that's not what Nehemiah did. Because here's what Nehemiah understood. Talking won't get you anywhere. Wishing won't get you anywhere. Nothing ever came by wishing. It comes by working. And you will either find a way or you'll find an excuse. So, first do you remember? Assess. Then do you remember? Visualize. Then you plan. And then you implement. See, you've got to implement the plan. See, it's not enough. It's not enough. And during New Year's, it's easy to talk about, you know, losing weight and dieting, because I think that's like the number one resolution we all have. Everyone has, you know. But at some point, you got to stop talking about the diet and actually stop eating, you know. At some point, you got to stop talking about the diet and actually start dieting. At some point, you got to stop talking about the budgeting and actually start budgeting. At some point, you got to stop talking about the savings account and actually start savings. At some point, you got to stop talking about all the things you want to do. I want to do this, and I want to do that. But at some point, you have to actually implement, execute, get to work, show up, get it done. You implement in your spiritual life. You implement in your marriage and relationships. You implement it with your children, your finances, your career, your health. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. Look at verse 18. We're done right here. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Notice what he says. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, this is the sweet spot. This is the nice spot. This is the good spot. When it's not just Nehemiah, it's they. It's the group. It's everyone. And they said, let us rise up and build. Amen. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. We've been having these work days for the last several weeks. Somebody said to me, they said, this is amazing. This is amazing because most Baptist churches will, you know, they'll announce big work day. And then on the work day, it's like the pastor and two guys show up. And, you know, we have 30 guys show up to work. Some of those days, I'm not even there. Some of those days, they ask me to leave. You know what I mean? They're like, you know you're not doing it right when they're like, Pastor, don't you have something more important to do? why don't you go work on a sermon or pray for us, you know? But here's the thing. It's good when other people catch the vision. See, some of you wives are like, man, it's just, I wish I could get my husband on board, and I wish I could get my husband to get right with God, and I wish I could get my husband to be spiritual. But it's hard when you're doing it alone. But it's a sweet thing. It's a sweet thing. We got a husband and a wife who together said, hey, let us rise up and build in our marriage. It's a sweet thing when you've got a mom and a dad and the children saying, let us rise up and build in our family. It's a sweet thing when you get a church family that joins together, that labors together, that strives together and says, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. He said, they said, the Bible says, they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So here's the question I have for you. How will your life be different this time next year? Some of you will be sitting in a new building, Lord willing, this time next year, and you'll still be broke, or you'll still be addicted, or you'll still be having marriage problems, or you'll still be dealing with rebellious children, or you'll still be talking about how you need to go on that diet, you need to go on that plan. Nothing ever came by wishing. You need to assess, visualize, plan, and implement. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, he shows up when they're in distress. He leaves with the walls built, the people happy and secure. And I just want to challenge you. There's areas in your life in 2017 you need to proclaim, let us rise up and build. I don't know what that area may be. It may be one of the things I've said this morning. It may be all of the things I've said this morning. But don't go into this new year without a plan. Just kind of mindlessly, whatever happens. Nothing ever got built. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for these stories. These principles are not original with me. These are thoughts and concepts that we've heard many times. But Lord, sometimes we need to be reminded of them. Father, I pray that there would be some people in this room that would assess their spiritual situation in the next couple of weeks and realize, I'm not as right with God as I used to be. Haven't been in my Bible like I used to be. Haven't been faithful to the house of God like I used to be. My situation is a mess and I need to quit making excuses or shifting the blame. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to take the next couple of weeks to reflect and to assess, to not make excuses, to just privately, accurately figure out. Where are the walls broken down? Where are the gates burnt down in my life? And then, Lord, help us to get a vision. Visualize how things, not how they are, but how they could be. Help us to develop a plan, Lord, and then help us to work that plan. And at this time next year, we might say, we're a little more like Christ. Our lives reflect the love of Christ. Our families reflect the love of Christ a little more this year than they did last year. Father, help us to, like Nehemiah, have this desire that was born from a burden to rise up and build. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.